Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we're going to talk about Sarah getting a new little bicycle pedal bike thing for her work. Speaking of pedal bikes, didn't you have a bicycle that you bought like a long time ago? What happened with that bicycle? Did it ever come to fruition or is it still sitting in pieces somewhere?
It is still sitting in pieces in the garage. However, my goal is to get it taken care of this
month. You've had it for almost a year.
Have you had it for more than a year? Yeah. Yeah. Please don't judge me, okay? I struggle.
I'm judging. I am full on judging. Because not only can you put it together yourself, I have faith in you, but you also have someone that can help you put it together as well. And you live with lesbians.
Yes, but I live with lipstick lesbians. Well,
tell them to figure it out. I, as a gay man, know how to put things together, and Sarah's losing her mind. She's losing it on her end.
I am dropping my laptop. I don't know. I'm just having a time over here, I guess.
So let's tell the people what you decided to do. And
so I was at a clinic recently and I was just like fidgety, and I'm a fidgety person. And so I'm like, you know, tapping my feet, moving my legs, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden I thought, wow, it'd be so cool if I had like a bike under this desk that I could just like pretend I'm going on a nice long bike ride while I'm working.
Yeah.
Cause I love bike riding. It's just a matter of having the emotional energy to get anything done, which I very unfortunately rarely do. So I was like, ooh, do they even have that? So then I went and I was looking, and then I was just like, I was telling you and Sam, and I told my my Polycule group. I was just like, I think this would be a really good idea, because then like I'd at least be getting exercise while I'm sitting on my ass all day.
Yeah. Does your desk not have a sit stand option?
Some of them do, but some of them don't. So because I'm afloat and I go to different locations, some locations have the capability of a stand to sit desk and others places don't. So like especially like the smaller clinics don't have the space for it. So I asked my boss, and my boss was like, yeah, whatever helps you get your job done. He's making faces at me. Also, for the listeners at home, he shaved. So he looks like a baby. He looks like he did when we were in middle school.
I do, and it's very weird, and I don't like it.
It's super weird. I haven't seen his face like that in literal years.
I needed to cut it down anyway, but then I was like, I haven't shaved in a really long time. And now I remember why.
Yeah, because I look like a literal infant. If you weren't so tall.
Yeah.
Like,
I look like my badge with better hair, but from 2012. Yeah, at Boston Scientific. It's terrible.
You do. Oh my God. Sorry. It keeps distracting me, actually. I keep going, oh.
So a baby. Jesus Christ. Rude.
I'm recording with a baby.
So did you purchase, did they have it in store or did you have to order it online?
I had to order it online. Yeah. So it should get here by the end of the month.
That's good.
But the one that I picked out is like, it's a foldable one and it's only weighs 6 pounds. It comes already assembled. So like literally all I have to do is unfold it and set it up in the spot that I want it to be in, and then ta-da. And it can also double as an arm bike.
Yeah.
So
I think my grandparents had one of those for like, one of them had to have physical therapy for something and it was like for their arms, and that was what they gave them.
Yeah. So I was just like, this sounds like a great idea. Plus, I need to get some more movement in my life because I've, especially with the depression, I've been very sedentary. Mm. And like my job is really sedentary too. So like normally I either, when I've had to deal with like the really bad depression like this, either I was doing a job that had more activity, so that was how I was staying moving.
Yeah.
Or I was doing a sedentary job, but I still had the motivation to go and do things. I have no motivation to go and do things. Because, you know, I'm spending the majority of my life wishing I was dead. But, you know, other than that.
You should make Nick make you do things.
Make Nick make me do things.
Yeah. Also, you haven't said anything. I mean, we've talked about it on the Discord messages, but I got new glasses and I'm wearing them.
Yes, he did get new glasses. He looks amazing. It was hard to focus on the glasses when I was so focused on your face.
Brian was like, I sent him the pictures that I sent you guys, and I was like, he's like, I love the clear frames. And he's like, and when he got home, he was like, I don't think clear frames work on everyone. And he was like, and I don't think they work on me, but on you, they work. So,
yeah, they do look really good on you.
I love them. I was very excited. I was very surprised because they're also like smaller. They're not as like tall as my regular my other glasses. And I put them on and I was like, I really like, and they had some that were like my other glasses that like same size and everything. But I liked these better and they fit, like they feel like they fit better.
They do look really good on your face. Very complimentary. They really frame your face well.
I also got sunglasses, and
I did really like the sunglasses.
I know. I was kind of on the fence because I didn't see the ones that I ordered. I saw a different pair, and I saw them on, like, she showed me the different options that they had in colors, and I was like, I like this one more. I wanted a matte pair because I really don't like these are shiny too. I really don't like shiny glasses, and I wanted some that were matte. But these, it was fine either way because I really liked them either way. But I really wanted a pair of matte sunglasses. Yeah. Sorry, there was something on the outside of them. But she was like, they only come in like these. And then I saw that it was like it's like a tan and like a, I want to say, tortoise shell earpiece.
Mm-hmm. Love, love, love. I had a really weird nightmare that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Like, okay, for those at home, I have PTSD.
Or in your car. They could be in their car.
Or in your car. Wherever you're listening. I don't just have PTSD. I have CPTSD. Anyway. So I tend to have a lot of nightmares, and I've been having way more nightmares recently. It's gotten pretty bad, but this nightmare was really interesting. It was terrifying, obviously, while I was dreaming it because I'm in it, but like now that I'm not in it anymore, I'm like, oh, that was actually kind of cool. That would make a really interesting movie. So I'm going to share it with y'all. So I was dreaming that I was in this cabin. And it was a very large cabin with my brother and my sister. And I don't know why. I always dream of my sister as a child. I never dream of her as an adult. Like, she's literally going to be 30 in March. And in all of my dreams, she is still a small child. Like, seven. 7 or 8. And so I'm in this cabin with my sister and my brother, and I don't know what was going on, why we were there, anything like that, but the place was weird. The place was weird. The place was ominous, and it was just the three of us, and I'm like, man, where's our adult supervision? Because I didn't feel like an adult. So there's this one area of the cabin, like this weird door that my brother and I happened to see. We go in there and it's like this levitating bed kind of scenario. So like the whole floor that the bed is on can rise up to the ceiling and back down. And there's a body on the bed. Like, and my brother and I are like, what the fuck is going on? So the body on the bed, turns out they're still alive, even though they've clearly been stuck there for a while. And it's this old man, and he essentially just tells us to get out because it's dangerous. And we're like, what are you talking about?
Get out! Get out!
Essentially. So then the sheriff shows up randomly.
Sheriff?
And the sheriff's just like, you guys haven't been poking your noses around places, have you? And we're like, no, we haven't been doing that. And the sheriff's like, good, because I'd hate to have to take y'all in. And I'm like, okay, or what? So he vanishes.
Take me in, Danny.
Oh my God. Oh, the only response I could think of for that was fucking the pussy with a rake. Anyway, so then this creepy thing comes out of nowhere and it's like throwing fireballs at us and it is trying to kill us. And I'm like, oh my God, we gotta get out of here. And then I can't find either of my siblings. They're gone. I'm hiding from this thing. And then finally I'm like, let me get a car and I'm gonna escape and get help. So I find this old Jeep. I start the Jeep. I get in the Jeep and I start driving away, only to discover that the area that we're in, there's like a gorge surrounding the area, and the bridge is out. Because of course it is. So the bridge is out. And so I'm over here and I'm just like, well, I guess we're going for it. So I just drive off the broken bridge into the water down below. And I end up resurfacing in like this underwater town where I'm being chased by these creepy ass mermaids. And then somewhere along the line, I discover that everybody's a cannibal in this town because apparently they've discovered, you know, the key to extending their lives, and it's eating children. So like literally they're trying to eat Hannah. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I fall into the, like this deep underwater cavern, and there's all these hands reaching out trying to grab me. And it just, it was wild. And then there's this like male mermaid thing who like opens his mouth and he's got these gigantic claws. And I'm just like, they're eating people.
Oh my God.
And then I woke up.
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened there at the end. I was just like, it's people.
So speaking of movies and TV shows, so I think we're transitioning away because that was crazy. I think I've figured out what the issue is with Sex and the City. Well, the new Sex and the City, and Just Like That, which I know you're not watching and you probably don't have any interest in, but it's on season 3. Mm-hmm. And we're watching it. I'm watching it and I'm like, there's so much going on in one episode because now there's 5 characters that they're trying to develop a story of instead of 4.
Right.
And they're not, it's not just focused on Carrie anymore. It's also focusing on the other characters. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sex and the City was mainly about Carrie. Like there were a few episodes every now and then that was focusing on the other of the 4. But this one, it's like every episode almost has to have something with all 5 of them. And this year, this now it's technically 6 because Anthony has a lot going on too. So right now there's Carrie Bradshaw, Miranda Hobbs, Charlotte Goldenblatt York, York Golden Blend, I don't know how it goes. And then LTW, who is one of my favorite characters. And then, oh my gosh, I cannot remember what her name is. But there's another one that is like a real estate person. And she, gosh, what is her name? Hold on, I'm finding it. Give me a minute. Hold on. Shut up, Sarah. Shut up.
I'm not saying anything.
Can I just, where's IMDb?
Hiding from you.
Yeah, I'm also trying to look it up on just Google, which I shouldn't have. But anyways, there's all of these characters, and I'll find it here in a second, but they're trying to focus on all of these characters in this like short time frame. It's 30 minutes long, and there's so many characters and so much character development that they're trying to shove into this 30 minute time frame. And I'm just like, that's too much for 30 minutes. Okay, let's go to season 3. I hate IMDb on the internet website itself. What is her name? This is going to piss me off. I hate IMDb on the webs on the internet.
I know. It used to be so much better, and now it's such a pain if you have to use it on like an actual computer.
Sarita is the other person. No, Seema Patel. The actress's name is Sarita. Seema Patel is like a real estate person, and she is transitioning. So here's the issue that I've noticed. In this last episode, each person basically had like 5-minute segments that they had time to have their character have something happen. And the issue is there's not enough time to actually tell the story that they want to tell with these characters in a 30-minute episode. And it's less than 30 minutes because it's technically cut down for time for ads and stuff like that, or commercials on regular TV. And so it starts off with Carrie and Aiden, and Carrie and Aiden are in this weird relationship where they were just on like a weird long distance thing where he was still living in Virginia and taking care of his family, and she wasn't allowed to kind of talk to him or call him or see him for however long it was going to take to get their family thing together. And they just had like this whole thing where his son tried to almost kill himself, but it wasn't like, I don't think it was intentional, but he was drinking and taking shrooms and wrecked his dad's truck and this big huge thing, and like broke his arm and all that, and like he has a lot of like mental health issues, and he's trying to focus on him, which is fine, totally makes sense, but it's like you can't really do that and expect to have a relationship with someone when you're focusing and that person lives in a completely different state. So their relationship has been driving me nuts the entire time. And there's this new character in the new apartment that she just bought that lives downstairs. His name is Duncan. Duncan. His name is Duncan something. And he's also a writer, but he writes like nonfiction about people's lives. And maybe, I think it might be some like potentially fiction. But he's working on a book by Margaret Thatcher right now. Or about Margaret Thatcher, not by Margaret Thatcher. About Margaret Thatcher. And him and Carrie are like collaborating and giving each other creative feedback on the books that they're writing, because she's working on a piece of fiction, which she's never written fiction before. So they're working really closely together, and she's like, ask Aiden, like, don't interact with him. He's here just for work, and it's not that kind of like neighborhood thing. Like, I don't want to get to know him all that much. I'm just working with him. And Aiden does this thing where he kind of inserts himself into the situation and starts like inviting himself and like talking to Duncan, and they were working together and working on their books, and he came downstairs and knocked on the door while they were in the middle of having working on their books. And he was like, oh, I have steaks if you guys want to come up and have steaks. And she's like, it's not that kind of thing. We're working. We need to focus on what we're doing. He was like, it's fine. Just come up and have dinner. And she was like, that's not how this works. We're working. We're focusing on this. And it was this big, huge thing. And then she went to bed. She came upstairs and he was in bed kind of frustrated and mad because she didn't come up and have dinner. So he didn't eat his dinner and blah, blah, blah. He was all mad and she climbed into bed and Duncan smokes a pipe. So she smelled like tobacco smoke. And he was like, no, get away from me. Get off of me. Go take a shower. You stink of cigarette, of tobacco smoke. Mm-hmm. Rude as hell. Like, that is one, like, that's insanely rude. It's like, oh, hey, can you say it politely, obviously. And then she was like, she got in the shower and then she made the decision that she wasn't going to go back into the bed with him. She was going to go sleep in the guest room. And he came in and got all mad because she was sleeping in the guest room. And she was like, just close the door. I'm sleeping in here tonight. And then the next morning, she woke up and she was like getting ready and she walked downstairs and he was in the kitchen acting like nothing was wrong and cooking breakfast. And he was like, I'm having breakfast, or I'm cooking breakfast. And she goes, I'm going for a walk. And she like left. But before she left, they got into this big fight. And he was like, are you still mad? Seriously? And she was like, no, it's not that. You were dismissive and told me that I smell like cigarettes or smoke and to go take a shower. It's because I asked you and I set a boundary with you not to get involved with Duncan and get into this working relationship that I have with him. And you're inserting yourself with him because you feel like I'm going to cheat on you with him. Because it happened with John big in the past. So this whole thing happened and they blew up. And by the end of it, they were no longer together in a relationship. They ended their relationship because she's been working on it for the last 6 months or whatever. And he hasn't. And then he also had this thing where he slept with his ex-wife during this long distance relationship thing. And she was like, she was totally fine with it. To me, when she said that, I was like, oh, this relationship is over. But that was all happening throughout this last episode. And then in between, there's these other characters, Charlotte and her husband, Harry. There was no reason to include them in this episode because it was literally just he had just had a surgery for his, I think, prostate cancer. So he had surgery and like his testicles are swollen, so he can't do very much, and like he still has a catheter in and all that. And she had vertigo, so she couldn't do anything, she couldn't move or anything. So it was literally just this one like less than 5 minute scene of him being excited because he peed for the first time without a catheter in, and she was excited for him. And then she was like, she threw her hands up and said yes, and then she slow motion fell over because she has vertigo. I was like, so this little scene didn't really need to be in here at all, and it was like 5 minutes that was not necessary. I mean, yeah, it is funny. And then LTW had another scene. Like, this is another scene that didn't need to be in this one. It was her husband and her son in the kitchen, and her husband was going through like, why is there cheese in the refrigerator? Why is there this? Why is there this? I told you guys that we can't have anything in the house that's tempting to me because I'll eat it, and I need to lose weight during this campaign or keep the weight off that I've lost during this campaign. And she just looks at him and she goes, Herbert, just take Ozempic like everybody else. And then she was working on her documentary, and he calls her while she's working and says he's upset because he gained a pound. And she's like, I'm working. Just shut up and take Ozempic. So it was like that. It didn't need to be in there. That was another part of it that didn't need to be in there. The one thing right. that I did like was Miranda and her girlfriend having like a heart to heart conversation about Miranda's alcoholism. Because in the last episode, Miranda's girlfriend brought a bottle of gin into her house and she left it in her apartment. And Miranda was hesitant to do it at first, but then she was like, no, it's okay, you can leave it here. And then by the end of the episode, last episode, she had like, she was like really having really strong cravings to drink the alcohol because she thought she could deal with it. It could just be in her house. And then she poured a glass and then poured the glass out and took the bottle of gin and threw it down the trash chute. So this episode was her talking to her girlfriend about her alcoholism and that they can't have alcohol in the house anymore. So it was a really good heart-to-heart conversation between her and her girlfriend, which was nice.
Okay.
And then the other, Seema Patel, it was again another thing that didn't really need to happen, but it was kind of funny. So it started off, and it's kind of disjointed as well. Started off with her and her new boyfriend that she just met, which used to be Carrie's gardener, and she was like always dating these really like buttoned up men that are like successful businessmen. And then she just now started having this thing with Carrie's gardener, and he doesn't wear deodorant. He just wears like that crystal deodorizer stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like telling her to give it a try, and he put her deodorant on his lips and gave her a kiss, and she was like, that's disgusting, what is that? And he said, it's your deodorant. And so she was in the shower, and then she got out of the shower and she was like, sure, why not? And she tried it. And then later in the episode, Carrie came to her apart or her new office because she's now trying to build her own real estate company in New York City, which is insane. but she came to her office and they were having sushi, and her new assistant was like, oh, by the way, I got you a lunch date for this person that you have lunch with, and it's in 40 minutes uptown in this one place. And she's like freaking out, and she throws her bag on and throws her jacket on and runs out the door. And he goes, is she gonna make it? And Carrie goes, it's gonna be tight. like they don't know whether they're gonna make it or not. And then she runs in and she meets the guy for lunch, and he is sitting there and the waiter is pouring him water, and the waiter apparently has really bad BO, and she leans over and like smells, and she can smell herself as well. So she freaks out and runs to the bathroom and puts on her deodorant. So like it was again kind of a funny scene, but it was also like, was it really necessary? And it could have been more interesting if the entire scene or the entire episode was an hour long. There, all of that just to say, there's so much that they're trying to cram into these 30 minutes. They can't really actually build the storyline and tell what they want to tell, mm-hmm. because they only have 30 minutes. They don't have an hour.
Right.
It should be, if they want to include all the things that they're trying to include, it needs to be an hour long so that they can fit everything in and it not feel like you're ADHD jumping from one thing to the other.
Right.
Because that's what it feels like. It just feels like everybody's on ADHD and they didn't take their ADHD medicine, and they're just jumping from one section to another, back to another one. And it's like, it's hard to follow.
Right. Especially if you don't have ADHD.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I keep seeing all these people that are hate watching it, and I'm like, are you really hate watching it, or are you watching it because you think it's funny how bad it is? But it's not really bad, it's just it's not as developed as they want it to be. That's my thing.
Fair. I don't know. I never understood the appeal of hate watching something.
Yeah. Well, I think now with the internet and social media, it's so that you can bond with other people that also are hate watching it, and then just go in and it's a lot of like negative critiques that are like really unnecessary. And it's like, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You're just doing it for clout and so that you can say that you talked about it.
Right. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about like the one time that I hate read Twilight just so I could talk smack about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate read the whole series. I barely finished the first book. Like, because why? Why, when there's so many other good things I could be enjoying, why would I waste my time reading something I know I hate?
Yeah. I will say, I just watched a movie. I don't want to watch this. I just watched a movie yesterday, and I have to see if I can find it. Oh, Cleaner. So it's called Cleaner, and it has a
Ridley Scott.
Is that her name?
I don't know.
No, Daisy Ridley. Daisy Ridley from the newer Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
She's like I love
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, she's like the main character in the newer Star Wars movies. It came out in 2025, so it's new. It is a newer movie. But it's basically this. She's a window cleaner in this like high rise, really expensive building. But in the backstory, her brother has like a really bad. I think he has like really like very high. His ADHD is like so extreme that he has a hard time functioning just in like day to day real relationships. And he's okay. Like been passed through from home to home and or not home to home, but like this care place to care place that are supposed to kind of help take care of him and stuff.
Right.
So like the beginning of it is showing their like previous relationship. And when they were younger, he would get beaten by their dad, and she would kind of put her headphones on and just like act like it wasn't happening and climb out the window and try not to and not be able to do anything about it because she was 8 years old when in the video or the scene that we saw. So it was like, what is an 8 year old gonna do?
Grow up and feel guilty about it for the rest of their life,
right? So she, like, the first part of it, I think she technically has ADHD too, but it's not as extreme as his. So it starts off with like her waking up to her alarm, and then she drops her phone off the side of the table and tries to go back to sleep. And then she realizes, oh crap, that's my alarm. I need to get up and run. So she's like running and going, and then she has to go to meet her brother because he's getting kicked out of the place that is currently helping. But then it all goes to she has to take him with her to work. And this company that they work for is like an energy company. And there's these radicalists that are like kind of like Greenpeace, but even like crazier radicalized, where they're like breaking into this gala that they're hosting, holding people ransom, making them kind of talk about and tell all of what they've been doing to destroy the world and all this. And then it kind of breaks down where one of the main guys kills the leader and like turns it into he's killing everyone and spilling all their secrets because he doesn't think people deserve to live. He wants to get rid of all people because we're humans are ruining the world, which technically is true, but there's other ways to do it. It's not accurate. People.
Yeah. We are parasites.
It's a really fun movie, and like there's a lot of action and a lot of like fight scenes that are really interesting, but I really liked it so far. And Sarah's getting a bunch of text messages, not paying attention anymore.
I am paying attention. I'm just also trying to, every time I'm like, okay, it's safe. I'm not going to get another text message. I get another text message.
What? I want to know what kind of sociopath has the sound turned on their phone.
I only have the sound turned on for specific people.
That's insane.
One of them is my mother.
It's insane. I have the sound turned off all the time. Nothing makes sound on my phone except for when I'm watching a video, a TikTok, or something that I am telling it to play the sound.
See, the reason that I started doing it for specific people is like in case of emergencies, there are specific people who can get through even if my sound is on like do not disturb.
No. They can leave a message. Actually, okay. I mean, I'm of
note
the
to self.
I'm of the mind of don't call me, text me. And I typically have my watch on, but I don't have it on today for some reason. And it vibrates on my wrist. So if I know something is urgent, I can see it on my wrist and respond in accordance to the issue.
I mean, yes, but I don't have something on my wrist, so it's how I know, like, if I'm across the room and like my phone is in, like, you know, my bag or something. That's how I know if like somebody important, like my boss or my mom, is trying to get a hold of me. And sometimes, is my mom just writing me because she misses me? Yes. But sometimes she's writing me because it's an actual, like, issue happening. Like, my brother being hospitalized or something like that. So, I just... My mom's so bad about keeping me up to date on things sometimes that I just let my phone always... Like, she can get through the do not disturb, because I'd much rather that I find out that it was nothing than there be an actual emergency and I missed it. But also, I'm the oldest child, so
I'm the youngest but the most responsible.
I mean, you are the most responsible, that's true. You're the most responsible out of your whole family. I would say that I'm not the most responsible, but no. I am. Oh. Ouch. Ouch. But I am more responsible than some other people in my family.
Name them. Speaking of my mothers, my mother messaged me the other day on a Tuesday and was like, happy hump day. And I was like, mom, it's Tuesday.
It's Wednesday is hump day.
And she was like, oh, well, have a good day. Like, what is wrong with you?
I guess she was just thinking about you and was like, let me just let my son know that I'm thinking about him.
Oh, yeah. She said, happy hump day. Love you, son. And it was Tuesday, July 15th. I said, it's Tuesday, mother. Love you, too. And then she sent like an upside down smiley face and then the wacky eyes with this tongue out emoji.
Yeah, my mom sends that one a lot.
I was like, you're crazy, woman.
Delta drugs.
Yeah. So is there anything else exciting happening in Sarah's world recently?
I had my performance review at work.
No.
Which went well. I'm doing well. I'm meeting or exceeding all their expectations. So, I went to a new location recently. That was like an hour away.
Ew.
Yeah. So, like. It was fine. Like, everybody there was super cool, you know, no problem. It's just the traffic on the way home sucked.
Yeah. I hate the traffic, and I don't understand why the left lane is ever stopped. Like, if all the other lanes are going, the left lane should never be stopped. Get the fuck out of my way. Get out of the lane. And it's a really bad issue in Massachusetts. Like, I'm sure it's everywhere, but in it's terrible. Because, like, you'll just be sitting completely at a complete standstill, and then the other two lanes are just going like nothing's happening. And it's because people don't understand how to merge. And the some of the exits and entrances are, it's like, you have an entrance and an exit, but the entrance is people are trying to get on, but then at the same side, like less than 150 feet forward. It's probably better than that. People are also trying to exit. So there's like, it should be the other way around. It should be there's an exit and then there's an entrance, an on-ramp. It should never be there's an on-ramp and an off-ramp at the same location. It's annoying. And then like people that are in the right two lanes try to get into the left, the far left lane, and then it causes other people to stop, and then it backs the traffic up, and it's just like, get out of the way. Just move.
Yeah. The other day, I was complaining about that as well, because I'm just like, one of the other things that I complain about a lot here, though, is Texas drivers very rarely use their turn signals.
That's frustrating.
Which irritates the fuck out of me, because how am I supposed to know what you're doing if you don't signal to tell me what you're doing?
Yeah.
So, like, I had this guy whip in front of me the other day, no turn signal, and I almost rear-ended him because I didn't know he was going to do that, and I was speeding up to try to get into the next lane. And I was just like, oh my God. But I was just like, the other thing too is I've started just making fun of people. Which luckily I'm in my own car and nobody can hear me. But like, for example, most recently there was this guy who was like riding my ass. And I'm just like, bro, we just went from a complete stop to now we're finally able to go the speed limit. It takes a moment for, I have a little car, okay? It takes a moment for my car to hit the mileage per hour, okay? Like, I'm doing my best here. He swings over into the next lane, but the person in the lane next to me is doing the same thing I am. They're slowly getting back up to speed. So then by the time he had switched lanes, my car had finally kicked up into the correct speed. So now I'm starting to go the speed limit and my lane is moving faster. So then he whips back into my lane. And I'm just like, wow, it's almost like you could have just been patient for 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's frustrating. People are annoying.
I'm just like, bro, come on. Get it together. And then, oh my God. And then there was this person who was like zipping through traffic yesterday. I was like, wow, okay, we're going to have an accident and then nobody's going to be able to move. Because this dude was zipping. Like he was going like 70 in a 50 and zooming in and out, like weaving in and out of these other cars. Like he almost hit somebody twice. And I was just like, no, there's nothing that is worth your life at this point. Like, please, nothing that you are hurrying off to is worth your life.
I know. I will see like all this traffic and I'm like, someone had better be dead or very severely hurt up there for this much traffic to be happening. Like, this is ridiculous sometimes.
It is. And I'm just like, bro, come on. I don't understand. I don't understand people, and I don't understand why people are like this, but here we are.
So I finally have some information about my my school.
Oh, yeah?
And nothing has changed except she's like, here's all this feedback that they provided you or that they're giving, they gave us to give to you. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. Am I going to get a new instructor or a new RPC for this extension course that I now have to take because I didn't get the help that I needed throughout my course? And she's like, no, you're not. You'll more than likely have the same instructor and they're not going to change your RPC. I was like, okay, so I don't understand how this is going to be any more effective when I have the same RPC. I've gotten no response from either one of them since I emailed them almost 3 weeks ago now. I still have no response from them. And the only response I have is from them through you. Like, why wouldn't they have responded to my email with all of this information? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Can you take it up any further than that?
No. So the last person I took it up to was like the student relations, the president of student relations. And they were like, if you go through and continue through this, this extension course, and you still aren't getting feedback in a timely manner, continue to let us know, because then we'll have to take it up to the dean. And I was like, haven't I proved already that I haven't received the feedback that I should have received in a timely manner and in a way that would have made it to where I could actually meet the requirements in the freaking assignment before they failed me? I don't understand.
Right.
Like, so I'm frustrated with it. And it's just like, she was just like, well, you can look through, and if you feel like some of their feedback is covered in what you already have, then send us. And I was like, that doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference now, because I'm starting the extension class, or if I were to move on to the next class, starts next Tuesday or next Wednesday. So even if I found it this week on Friday, because she called me on Thursday, even if I find it tomorrow or Saturday and point out to everyone where I feel like I did meet the criteria of the assignment and send it to you guys, I'm not going to get that feedback and get it remedied until they've already started the next class. And now I have to wait for 10 fucking weeks and do this extension course that I have to pay out of pocket for. And it's almost $600 that I have to pay out of pocket for. And it's 10 weeks. And I was like, so what if I make all the corrections and turn it in 2 weeks, when we had 2 weeks at the end of this course that I could have made corrections and turned it in, but I didn't receive the feedback until the end of week 9, when then I had only 1 week. And what if I finish it in 2 weeks and then I have another 8 weeks that I have nothing to do? And now I'm going to be screwed for 10 more weeks. You're pushing my graduation date back 10 more weeks. And she didn't really have an answer. She was just like, that's just the way the terms work. And you wouldn't even be able to start another class until at the end of the next 10 weeks. So I'm frustrated and annoyed. And I'm just gonna go forward and just be like, whatever. And they still aren't really telling me how, like, what this class is supposed to look like. So I'm like, is it going to be like a bunch of back and forth emails between me and my instructor? And if the RPC decides to respond, the RPC as well? Because she's like, there are no assignments you have to turn in. There's no like weekly discussion boards you have to do. It's literally just 10 more weeks for you to focus on your chapters 1 and 2. I'm like, why couldn't that have just been added to the next class? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. And she was like, and there are some students that don't pass the extension course. I was like, then it sounds like there's something wrong with your program. If you have students that take 2 classes and they've completed all of this work and they
still aren't passing,
like, they go through 20 weeks of a session to write 2 chapters of a dissertation and they still don't pass, then there's something wrong with either the instructors that you have included or the program itself. That to me shows that your program is a failure. And she's like, well, I don't agree with that. I was like, then you're wrong, because if you have
the proof is in the pudding. Like, what?
It's like, yeah, if you have where it's dedicated to this extra 10 weeks is, like you said, dedicated for this person to work on their dissertation, these 2 chapters, and they still don't finish it in 10 weeks, then there's something wrong with your program. If I'm paying $600 for something that I shouldn't have to pay for because I didn't get the assistance that I needed to begin with, and I still don't get the assistance I need, then there's something wrong with your program.
Right.
It's not me. It's your program. Like, you can look at it. I've gotten straight A's in my master's and until now, my doctorate. I've had nothing but A's. I have a 4.0. She was like, no, I see that. And I can see that you've done really great. It's just sometimes it's unfortunate how I was like, no, this doesn't happen. this doesn't happen to me.
Exactly. That doesn't happen. That's not how life works.
And she was like, this isn't meant to be punitive. I'm like, well, it feels like it is punitive because I just went from having a straight A track record to now I've failed a class because I didn't get the assistance that I needed and didn't get the feedback that I needed in a timely manner. So you're telling me that I'm having to take this class again and pay out of pocket, but it's not punitive. I don't understand how you can say that that's not punitive.
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
So I'm frustrated, but I'm just going to go through with it, go deal with it and work my way through it and just be like, this is what I have. If you don't think that this fits, then I don't understand because I'm meeting the criteria you're telling me to meet. And if you don't see that that's meeting your criteria, then I don't think you understand my dissertation, my idea and my program.
Right.
Like just because it doesn't match what you want doesn't mean it doesn't match the intention of my dissertation.
Right.
Like just because you don't like it doesn't mean it doesn't match the requirements. It doesn't meet the requirements. It's frustrating and I'm annoyed with it.
I would be too. That's fucking frustrating.
But I've decided to I think one of the other issues I have is I'm going to pull it up and show you how their feedback comes up on the documents that they review. But it's very hard to see and very hard to kind of read through their feedback and actually address and do anything with it because of the way that they do it.
I know you didn't hear that, but I just heard my stomach growl.
I heard something, but...
Oh, hey. That was my stomach.
So let me show you what I'm seeing. So this is my paper.
Mm.
And to see the feedback, I have to click on this. Click on it and then scroll through and read all of this feedback.
Do the feedback on specific pages?
Oh, they do. But it's like, okay, I clicked on this. Now if I want to click on this one, it's working now. But for some reason, sometimes it would completely blank out the screen. But it's it's very hard to okay. I don't, it's very hard to go through and read everything and remember what this is supposed to be about. It's very difficult to review this feedback like this because it's in comments and it's that's not helpful. It's very difficult to go through and read these feedbacks this way.
Yeah, I definitely think that the feedback would be better if it was on the side next to it. But.
So what I've done is I bought a printer, which I really didn't want to do because I don't really need a printer for anything. And what it does is I have it print off. And then on the next page, you can't see it because it's not showing up. You can't see it because it's not showing up. The next page, it has the feedback. So whatever feedback they gave me from this page is going to be on the next page.
Okay. Well, that's kind of helpful.
But it's just I'm pissed off and annoyed with it because it's I feel like when I look at the criteria in the assignment and in the rubric, I checked the boxes and I said, okay, this to me meets this criteria. Right. Maybe your criteria isn't well defined. Maybe that's the issue because it's very subjective the way that grading happens. And I hate grading because it is very subjective because what I think is good obviously isn't to this instructor and this RPC, and that's not really to me. That doesn't mean that I didn't do what the assignment says, because I did. It just to them doesn't meet the criteria, but to me it does.
Right. So, I mean, when you had me look over it, it looked like you met all the criteria. Like, the formatting and everything looked fine. I don't understand.
See, it's not the formatting. It's the content. They don't feel like it's the content meets the criteria. Let me read, like, what this little statement says. So, this is from my RPC. It says, James, your research topic is intriguing and holds potential for providing valuable recommendations for training programs applicable not only in business, but also in the field of education. However, it is essential to elevate your research problem to a more advanced level of inquiry to satisfy the standards of a doctoral level applied research project. The research problem should represent a persistent issue of practice that genuinely requires genuinely requires insights and or a solution. For instance, you should justify why you aim to evaluate the impact of incorporating visual learning aids and videos in corporate training on specific outcomes. Furthermore, as your study is part of the EDD program in leadership and innovation, it is important to consider what and how you intend for your research findings to make a meaningful contribution to the field of education. And adult training programs are education.
Right.
Like, I don't understand that. Additionally, your literature review chapter should demonstrate a comprehensive understanding of the existing knowledge base concerning your research area, namely corporate training and the technical support of visual tools. With an in-depth understanding of scholarship closely related to your research area, you are expected to identify gaps in current knowledge and highlight how your study can help bridge these gaps. Your chapter 2 should also articulate key concepts, theories, and or prior studies that frame your research inquiry, which was introduced in chapter 1, as well as your research methodology, which will be detailed in chapter 3. I strongly encourage you to continue improving your chapters with more depth and breadth with strong foundations. So I'm like, to me, that doesn't seem like it's really giving me feedback. You're just saying that you don't feel like it was robust enough. That's not specific feedback to me.
That's not specific. It didn't feel specific to me either.
And to me, it's just like, you want it to have more of an education spin just because I'm going for my EDD, but not all EDDs are specifically for education. And training programs in a corporate setting is a form of adult education. And a lot of the content that I had included was around corporate programs and like what the corporate programs look like, the different training methodologies that they use. So focusing on visual, auditory, and hands-on learners, like that was all included in my chapter 2 in the research to kind of help support the argument that most of the time corporations focus solely on the hands-on aspect and they completely alienate the learners that learn a different way.
Right.
That are more visual or auditory learners. And incorporating videos and visual aids would help bridge that gap in between the different learning styles. Like, that's my entire dissertation argument, that incorporating videos and visual aids into a corporate training environment will help include the different learning styles and provide a more effective training program. That's my dissertation. It's frustrating. I'm annoyed.
I can tell.
And I hate spent money.
I get that.
I got angry I was upset and I spent money that I probably shouldn't have spent.
You know, little retail therapy.
Yeah, by little, it's like over $1,000.
Oh my God.
Like, actually, I think it's like edging to 1500 now.
Okay.
Because I bought a bag.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided, ooh, I want this bag too. And I bought two more bags.
Uh-huh.
And then I also bought a type folio case for my note-taking. It's Remarkable Pro thing.
Right.
That I have. And
the printer.
Well, the printer was a necessity. It wasn't really a hate buy. I had been toying with the idea of buying a printer anyway, because I do a lot at work where I'm like, it might be better if I printed this off and viewed it, but I'm at home and I can't really print it, or I need to return something. And if I do it online, I can print it, but then I don't have a printer, so I can't print it.
Hmm.
And it's a scanner too, so I can also scan things.
That's nice.
So I have a printer and scanner now.
Woo!
And it wasn't that expensive.
And you have some bags now.
Yes. And some bags now. That were expensive. That were expensive. Well, two of them weren't that expensive. They were on sale for like less than $100. One of them was very expensive. But it's the one that I like the most, and the one that I have been toying on whether or not to buy it for a really long time.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it's from Coach. So, but I'm happy with the purchases, and they made me feel better.
You know, as long as you're happy, that's what matters. Like, I'm not going to say anything against it. I have zero room to talk.
I also was kind of just celebrating because I paid off one of my credit cards, and the other one's like 10% of like my spending limit currently.
Love that. I need to pay off my credit cards.
So I currently have like very little credit card debt.
What must that be like?
It's pretty nice. Except I have medicine that I have to pay for every month that's almost $400. And I have now a $600 extension course that I have to pay for through school.
Yeah. I've not to say that I have never had my credit cards paid off, because I have. There have been moments in my life where I had very little credit card debt. And in the grand scheme of things, my credit card debt is not that wild, but it'd be nice to not be in debt anymore.
Yeah. So do you want to end it with a joke?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
So it's a guy walks into a bar and tells the bartender, if I show you a trick, a wild trick, would you give me a free drink? The bartender shrugs and says, sure, why not? The guy reaches into his pocket and pulls out a tiny rat. Then out of the other pocket, he pulls out a teeny tiny piano. The rat stretches, cracks his knuckles, and starts playing the blues like a rodent Ray Charles. Stunned, the bartender pours him a free drink. After finishing it, the guy says, now, if I show you another, an even better trick, do I drink free all night? Buddy, if you can top that, you're drinking on me till closing. The bartender replies. The man pulls the rat and the piano out again, and this time reaches into his coat and pulls out a small bullfrog. The frog clears its throat and starts belting out soulful blues lyrics. The rat's playing, the frog singing, and the bar is dead silent in awe. Suddenly, a man rushes up and says, I'll give you $10,000 for that frog. The guy says, nope, not for sale. $25,000. Nope. $50,000 cash. The guy says, deal. The bartender's jaw drops. Are you crazy? That frog was a gold mine. Why'd you sell him? And the man smirks and says, relax. The frog can't sing. The rat's a ventriloquist.
That's so funny.
And that is from r/jokes on Reddit.
I love that the rat is a ventriloquist.
Yeah, I mean, So he could just do that with any old bullfrog.
Any old bullfrog. Love that. Are you doing anything exciting this weekend?
I honestly have no idea. Ryan sent a link to a barbecue place, but the other day he also asked if we could go get sushi at this one place that we've gone and got sushi before. So I don't know if he wants to go get barbecue or if he wants to go get sushi tomorrow.
Okay. Well, that sounds fun.
And then today I'm probably just hanging out and relaxing until next week whenever I have school stuff and work stuff and what about you?
Yeah.
Are you doing anything fun this weekend?
I am. I'm gonna go spend the night with Nick tonight.
Take your bicycle, maybe you can put it together.
Maybe. Probably not.
That's not happening. That's not happening.
No, and the only reason it's not happening is because I cannot transport it in my car. It's too big. And my car is too small.
Oh yeah, is it not a hatchback?
I mean, I guess it can kind of be used as one, but there's stuff in my car at this moment.
Oh, so she messy.
I'm messy.
Sarah messy.
Yep. Unfortunate, but true.
All right. Well, would you like to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I think we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like it, please give it a like, comment. Don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up in the search, then we're not on that platform. If there's something you would like us to discuss on the podcast, you can email us. Our email is nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week, since this will be coming out on a Monday. And Sarah, enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.